So this morning, as we go into a time of prayer, we want to remember prayer quilts today. And just a reminder that as you leave the sanctuary, you're invited to tie a knot in prayer and sign a card in the entrance of the sanctuary so that they will know that this congregation has held them in prayer during this time. I invite you to go to time of prayer with me. O God of sunlight, God of rain, creator of shifting seasons and the promise of new life in buds and blooms and germinating seeds, God of promise and God of hope, we worship you this morning and we come offering thanks. We're thankful for the abundance of our lives. We don't worry about eating today. There'll be plenty of food. We don't worry about how we will get from place to place. We don't even worry so much about tomorrow or the next day or the next. We are thankful and we notice your hand in our lives. Today we pray for confidence in you, that not only might we have confidence in our situations, in our security, in whatever forms those take in this life, but that our utmost confidence, our ultimate confidence, might be in you. Lord, for some of us, it hasn't been that long since we said yes to you and your son, Jesus Christ. And for some of us, it has been decades. But in all cases, Lord, whatever season of faith we're in, make it a season where we look to you, where we cling to you, where we count on you. Let your hope be in us. Let your strength be in us. And be our guide. Sometimes, Lord, in the midst of our abundance, even in our gratitude for what you have given, we can become forgetful of those who have difficulties in this life. And so, Lord, we pray first for that circle around us, those names that we can name, those friends and family members who carry burdens, for those who struggle in addiction and in mental health. For those who seem to be drifting with no purpose. And Lord, for those who perceive in their lives they need nothing else but their own strength and their own determination, bring them closer to you. And Lord, we extend the circle out to those we don't know in this county and beyond. Even the nameless people we hear about just as numbers in the news. And we pray that you are the comfort for those who live in places of natural disaster, who struggle in poverty and loss, who live in fear, and Lord, in the aftermath of senseless acts of violence, not only those that are in our schools on a regular basis and in our places of worship on a regular basis, it seems, but in all places where there is violence and there is pain and there is suffering. Lord, our faith tells us to trust in you, and we want to trust in you. We trust that you will move you will move in these places of difficulty and bring your peace and your direction. Lord, we pray for your servants, for those in this church and for those around the world who work in your name, that their work might be effective and might bring change for your glory. And we also pray for our confirmands today. Young people, 14 years old, saying yes to you publicly. Oh, the power of that. The power. Let that be our hope, as you are steadfastly our hope. We ask all of these things as we take a moment now to lift to you our prayers of thanksgiving and need. And now, Lord, trusting in your steadfast presence, we pray the prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
This morning's scripture lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now, to you who believe, this stone is precious, but to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The word of God for the people of God.
So, at the 9:30 service, Carson, Amber, Emma, Abby, Luke, and Abby will be confirmed. They've had 10 two-hour class sessions. They have spent a lot of time talking about, those exciting topics for eighth graders, the history of the church, the definition of theological terms. But more than that, they have talked frankly about their own faith journeys and where they are. And in confirmation, what they do is they affirm the vows that their parents took for them at baptism. Emma Dalecki will be baptized, so she'll be taking those vows herself. But it's a reaffirmation of what was done. And parents, when they offered their children for baptism, it was an act of hope. One of the things they hoped for was this day when their children would say, yes, we are Christians. They will also become members of this church, and as members of this church, they will have all of the rights and responsibilities of vote, of serving this community and upholding it, and actually even serving in some leadership positions. And so this is a pretty remarkable day for those youth. The question that I have this morning is how did this happen? How is it that these children came to be confirmed in their faith? And we might even ask it this way, how has this happened over and over again? This church, which has existed since the 1850s, a long, long time, has confirmed youth every year. So hundreds and hundreds of young people have said yes to Jesus Christ in this place. In addition, spring is a pretty traditional time for confirmation. And so United Methodist churches across the state of Michigan and in the United States and around the world, youth are affirming their faith. And even more than that, the affirmation of faith is a tradition of many, many churches. And so young people, hundreds and hundreds, thousands of young people are saying yes to Jesus Christ. How in the world does this happen? That we will claim Christ and that we will claim Christ in community. I think that it comes to this understanding that when we are connected with one another, Christ is more present than at any other time. For thousands of years, I guess you could say two millennia, that is what we've discovered about the Christian faith. That the Christian faith is supported not alone or by simply traveling a course that is singular, but it is supported by community. It is informed by community. And I would even say that the repetition of acts of like baptism and like affirming one's faith make them sacred every time they happen. And God is in it. God is moving in powerful ways to bring us to faith. God is moving in powerful ways for us to live out our faith. We think about how we live out our faith in this community, whether it's Habitat for Humanity in Washtenaw County or Appalachia Service Project down in Kentucky, whether it's a Redbird Mission that we'll be sending out in October, or the thousands of people who receive low-cost dental care from the community dental clinic on our campus, whether it's Cass Community Social Services, and this is a picture of that, where we gather to feed the hungry on a regular basis and to do other work in the city of Detroit. All of these things happen together, and you again have to ask, how is God in this? How does this happen? I think that the answer definitely comes when we look at this important scripture from 1 Peter 2 that Kelly has shared this morning. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. What 1 Peter does is uses this amazing analogy that Jesus is a living stone and we are living stones as well. Now, most of us don't live in a house made of stone. Maybe at some point someone here could say that they've lived in a, oh, there we go, we have a stone house over there on Winans Road. We can say, you know, we have some brick. We have, maybe some of you at some point in your life lived in a cement block house. They're out there or have stayed in like an up north cottage, a lot of them up there. But we usually don't think of kind of stone built. But when we think of anything like this, we think pretty static. So if it's built of stone, if it's built of block, a lot of this church is built of block, if it is, then it's pretty static. It's here for the duration. But what 1 Peter says is that we are in a place of stone, but it's a dynamic stone. It's on the move. And not only is Jesus a living stone, but we are living stones too. This whole notion of stone is an image that runs through the Bible. Joshua and Jacob set up pillars of stone to mark places where they had experienced God's presence. And Moses struck a rock and water poured out of it. And it's called the living stone. When Jesus talked about he offered a parable about a man who built his house on the sand and another one who built his house on the rock. And the rock withstood the waves and the rock was Jesus Christ. And then near the middle of his ministry, he said to Peter, you will be the rock, the foundation on which I build the church. And Peter, Petra means rock in Greek. It was a nice pun, but it was also this understanding that stone is an image that's used in the building of God and what God wants. Now, in this First Peter, he uses some very specific images to describe who Jesus is in the living stone. One of the things that Jesus is called in 1 Peter 2:7 is a capstone. It, in some translations, it says cornerstone, but I went to my trusty Greek expert, my husband, and we took this whole passage and we took it apart, and the cornerstone is, there are two different words used for it, and one of them actually means capstone. And the capstone is often the last stone that's put into an arch or a dome. It's the stone under which all of the pressure is placed, and it's the thing that keeps everything together. To build a traditional arch, you need a capstone. It's kind of physically, that's where the pressure goes. And so when Peter called Jesus the capstone, it was kind of like the final move into the building of perfection, that not only is Jesus Christ needed, but Jesus Christ is keeping it all together so that we don't fall down. The other image that is used to describe is cornerstone. Now, this is a picture that's there's Bill, and Bill's going, when was this? This is a picture from a few years ago, but I wanted to talk about cornerstones. We have members of our congregation who go to Rio Bravo, Mexico every year, and we still do, and they build casitas, small little houses. And before we get there, they pour a cement foundation, and then a maestro, a master mason, comes in and lays the cornerstone. So you can see here in this picture, this is the whole cornerstone. This is there before we get there, so we as novices don't mess things up. Right? Okay. So this is all solidly laid and planned and plumbed so that as we start building brick around it, that the building will stand. And so what Peter said is that Jesus is not only the capstone, the final authority, the thing that holds the building and keeps it standing, but Jesus is also the very foundation of the building. Even a foundation that might have a little bit of a lip that people might trip over, but it's a foundation that keeps the whole building standing. It's from where you build up. And so we have these images of Jesus that are integral to a building that is standing true. And what Peter calls Jesus is chosen and precious. So this is very specific, that God chose Jesus Christ and is precious, that this is the way our lives will be. The living rock that is the church is shifting always because it's living, but ultimately its cornerstone and its capstone are Jesus Christ. And that is true for us not only as the church, but even personally. When the youth today take their confirmation vows, they will be saying, personally, Jesus Christ is my cornerstone, Jesus Christ is my capstone, and the church will be affirming that, saying, as a church, Jesus is our cornerstone, Jesus is our capstone, and we will not choose any other foundation. Now, we might be tempted in our lives to choose foundations, like putting all of our hope in the security of financial savings or the security of the dream home that we've built or the security of relationships. But ultimately, the very foundation that cannot be shaken in the most difficult of times is that of knowing Jesus Christ. And so we are the living stones. And we are also precious and chosen. God has chosen us to come together, to be aligned, to be in cooperation with each other, and to be tied to Jesus Christ. And so God's construction is careful and is surprising. You might say to yourself, well, that's all very nice, but I don't see how my part in the building of the church is anything significant. But every single part of the building, every stone, living and moving, is important. Anchored by Jesus Christ, topped by Jesus Christ, we are effective when we move and work together. And the truth is that this has been the same through the centuries. Now, the church has risen and fallen in different places. The church has been a glorious part of communities, and the church has also, in some ways, been harmful. We can look back through the centuries at the way we used to do mission, where we would go in and westernize indigenous peoples. We can talk about the church's role in imperialism and the church's role even in corruption through the centuries. But we can also talk about a living and breathing church that has made an incredible difference in the dignity of people and how people are treated. That the church has given hope where there has been no hope. And that the community has lifted again and again those who are in need. We are together, and God is building the church through the centuries. In fact, some people would say that the church doesn't look like it did 40 years ago. Couldn't we go back to that, when people just came to church because that's what you did in community? And we're not there now. But this is what we know about the truth of the church. Is the church is the body of Jesus Christ, and Jesus isn't going anywhere. You know, the confirmands that will be here this morning have their entire lives ahead of them, and I cannot even imagine what the church will look like 50 years from now. Will the church be more likely be individual small groups meeting in houses? Will the churches be giant and all of the small churches be gone? Will the denominations that we can name today be the same 50 years from now? History would say no, that there will be all kinds of changes. But this is what we can be assured of, is for these young people who say yes to Jesus, Jesus isn't going anywhere. Nor is the understanding that the power of Christianity is not in the individual, but in the group of people that God calls together. Because in the midst of that, amazing things can happen. Consider the saints that have built the church. Now, these are people named and unnamed, famous and not so famous, who have sustained the faith through all of the dark times and the embarrassing times that have been the church, who have again and again opened themselves to the power of Jesus Christ so that Jesus might speak through them and God might be glorified. Consider the saints of this church, those who in the very beginning bought a little bit of land, signed their names to a contract, built a church because they already were meeting as a church and wanted a building. Consider the saints who have gone before us here who have said, we may not know everything, but together we will keep this church moving forward. And the difference that that has made for this community. Consider the church of the future and all that it will look like. We could worry and we could wring our hands until we remember that the foundation on which the church sits is that of Jesus Christ. Christ is the cornerstone. Until we remember that the capstone, the stone that holds all of the building together, is Jesus Christ. We join as one body, and it makes a difference. It means that we are active. I would say that this truth of living stones from 1 Peter is not just for those first hearers of the first century. But again and again, through the centuries, people have been able to hear, you have been chosen to be part of this living, breathing building that is built in the name of Jesus Christ. You have been chosen. And the same is true for all of us here in this room right now, as it is for all generations. We can claim our Christian identity as individuals, but we can also claim our Christian identity as a community of faith, and we can claim that identity as we live our lives out in hope, trusting that God is not done but working in this world, and living our lives out in service so that this world might more reflect every day the reign of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Lord, we do lean into you and we want to be part of your building in whatever way that looks. Use us as living stones. Put us on top of the foundation that is Jesus Christ. Keep this building and all buildings of the faith standing. And by your grace, lead us to serve in wonderful ways into your reign. Amen.